To the word of the Lord. You could just feel the presence of the Lord in the singing. And so I know He's here. The question is, am I here? He can show up, but if you ain't on His page, it ain't going to happen. Amen. I've always said it, and I'm not going to back away from it. God is first, or He is nothing at all. Everybody understand that? That's not me. He said, I am a jealous God, and I'll share my glory with no one. And you're His glory. If you belong to Him, you are His glory. Boy, howdy. Maybe we ought to get the singers back up here. If there's anything, are you hearing me? If there's anything in this life that holds you more than He does, then you ain't sold out to Him. I don't care what it is. You ain't sold out to Him. There's nothing wrong with having riches. Nothing at all. But then there's a sadness when riches has you. And the Bible declares and tells us that it's not wrong to have it. It's not wrong for God to bless you. But when your blessing turns into your curse, James told him, he said, ye rich, go weeping how for the misery, in essence, that's going to come upon you because you didn't put your trust in the Lord. Amen. Now, I know some of y'all are going to look at me kind of funny right here when I said that, because you're going to think, well, hey, preacher, hey, I ain't got nothing compared to what they've got, so I'm not asking you, does God think you're rich? You can have a dollar and put too much stock in that $1. It don't take a million of them. Just be greedy with that one. Come on here. You don't want to hear me, do you? If you go to this church, and I'm glad for all the newcomers that are here, I preach holiness. I stand for holiness. Psalm 69. Psalms chapter 69. When you found your place, say amen. Save me, O God, for the waters are come in unto my soul. I sink in deep mire, where there is no standing. I am come into deep waters, where the floods overflow me. I am weary of my crying. My throat is dried. Mine eyes fail while I wait for my God. They that hate me without cause are more than the hairs of my head. They that would destroy me because mine enemies wrongfully, being my enemies wrongfully, are mighty. Then I restored that which I took not away. O God, Thou knowest my foolishness. My sins are not hid from Thee. Let not them that wait on Thee, O Lord, God of hosts, be ashamed for my sake, and let not those that seek Thee be confounded for my sake, O God of Israel. Chapter 70. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Make haste to help me, O Lord. Very familiar text here. Blessed be the Lord, who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation, Selah. He that is our God is the God of salvation, and unto God the Lord belong the issues from death. I want to preach tonight, if the Lord will help me and I can get it across in this building tonight. I got one word that's been tumbling in my soul. I want to preach on rescue. Rescue. Would you stretch your hand this way and ask the Lord to help us? Father, in the name of Jesus, I come before you tonight. I'm asking for the help of the Lord. I'm asking for the Spirit of God to move and to touch and to anoint. Break every yoke and bind every power of the enemy in this service tonight. And we'll be careful to give you the praise, the honor, the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. I reckon everyone here knows the setting of the scriptures by which I have felt laid on my heart. There's not a one individual in this building who has not felt somewhere or another, just like David felt, I need help. I need God to move for me. It doesn't matter whether you tell your problem. It doesn't matter whether you disguise your problem. There is that still, small cry that's locked inside of a man or a woman, regardless of their strength, regardless of their cloud in life, regardless if the whole world thinks them strong. There is that one place where they scream out, whether you hear them or not, I need help. I reckon it's probably one of the greatest sins that is among us is that we do not admit we need help. Oh, help me, God. I don't know exactly how I'm going to go through this, but I just feel like I need to talk about it before I get carried away. We are living in one of the most prideful generations that's ever I've ever known. I have never seen where it is more damaging to one's character to admit their own weakness. I've never seen a generation of men who are so set in being strong in facial atmospheres that they literally will not let it be known, I'm at a weak moment and I need help. One of the greatest tragedies that has ever fallen out unto men is the tragedy of a cry that's too late. It's the tragedy of admitting too late, I should have asked for help. Oh, you're going to have to stay with me tonight. You know, this spiritual icon, and I'm deliberately, and God help my time to say this right, I'm deliberately restraining myself from the force of preaching because there's some things I want to say before I preach here tonight. It is one of the greatest tragedies that has ever happened is to hear a man admit he needs help after he's already blundered his life. The question is, why didn't you ask for it before you got in it? Why didn't you cry out? Why didn't you plead with God when you knew that the devil was tempting you? When you knew that what you was facing was bigger than you are. When you knew what was controlling your mind, you weren't able to stop it. But you wouldn't cry out and said, "Hey, will somebody please pray for me? I need help." Well, come on here. I have yet to admit, I have yet for anybody to walk up in the 20 years that I've been pastoring here. I have very little men, though strong they may look, I have very little men who has ever walked up to me before a tragedy and looked at me, brother, and said, "Hey, I'm battling this and I'm scared it's going to take me under." Well, I feel the Holy Ghost to preach this. We don't want to admit it. We don't want nobody to know that there is a weakness in my life. That there is a frail place where I'm standing. There is a place where if I'm not careful, my feet could slip out from underneath me. If I don't do it just right, I'm afraid I may be the next casualty. I'm afraid that my family may be the next loss. I'm afraid that what I'm about to choose is going to be the wrong choosing for my life. Oh, come on here now. But we don't want to admit, oh, hallelujah. We don't want to admit it that I'm needing help. We don't want to admit it's this spiritual realm that we live in. And I don't care how anybody feels about it. It's this spiritual realm that we live in. I have got this image that I need to keep up. And if I don't keep it up, then I'm going to lose my confidence that everybody's got in me. And so therefore, I can't blunder. I can't fall. I can't sometimes waller on an altar and tell God, "I need help here. I need help with this situation." I want to tell you something in this house. We are literally hypocrites when we come down to the wire in rearing our children and getting to the place where we look at our babies and we tell them, "Why didn't you ask for it?" When they tipped over the cookie jar, when they spilled that glass of milk, when they turned over something, and we scold them and said, "If you wanted it, why didn't you ask?" But then the tragedies of our lives that are left laying among us is because we will not admit, "I need help. I need help. I need somebody to help me. I need somebody to help me." Hallelujah. Holy Ghost, help me while I preach. I'm telling you, and I do not mean to be rude or crude to you, but it's too late to cry when the milk is spilt. It's too late to cry when the cookie jar is broken. If some cracks are just hard to hide. You may put your life back together. You may fix some things, but there are just some places that are just irreparable. Hallelujah. Oh, somebody better hear me tonight. I want to tell you something in this house. There is a sadness under the cry that I hear inside of men whose hands are lifted, whose voices are raised, but inside of them they're screaming, but they won't say it outwardly. I'm seeking in my I'm sinking and I need help. I'm sinking and my life is wrecking to pieces. It is a tragedy. And God, help me right here. I may not get to where you want me to be right here, but I'm going to try to get where the Lord wants me to be. It's a tragedy that when you sit with people and you counsel with them, you talk to them and you tell them, "If you don't stop and do it this way, it's going to end in disaster." But then they get this big bright idea. I ain't got to do it that way. I can work it around this way and everything be all right. Everything be fine. And it looks like it's going to work. It looks like it's a fit plan. It looks like it's fixing to come together. But it's that uncertain moment that I wasn't expecting, that wasn't in my plans. And then all of a sudden, I mean, hey, come here. I mean, I'll just be flat honest with you. I do not understand why God, and I'm not going to question Him. I don't understand why, after preaching there is a lifting up, to walk in this building on Wednesday night, and it be just as tight, and God had to admit unto us, why ain't you asking for help? I don't understand what's going on. But somewhere between Sunday night and Wednesday night, somebody ain't asking. I need help. The falling of men and the crushing blow has always been to the proud. It's never been to the humble. God's grace is given to the humble man, but His punishment, His judgment, is given unto the proud man. The individual, I want to talk to Bethel. The individual man or woman who will not admit, I'm stumbling and I'm not where I used to be with God. You may talk in tongues. You may run the aisles and shout. You may declare yourself to be very spiritual. But in the sight of God, you're a sinking man. Because you will not admit, I need help. How many ministries have already gone down the drain? Because they will not admit, I need help. Come on here. Stay right there. It seems as though that there is a pride and an arrogancy that has spilled over into our Christian living. That's just about made us feel like it's humiliating to admit I'm battling something. We'll get real tight for old boy right here. There's folks battling stuff right now in this building that you declare that you would never admit to anybody as long as you live. But it's a rock in your mind and a rack in your nerves. But we shout on. We run on. We say amen. We sing. We preach. We move on. Like it ain't there. But it's that unexpected moment that when we reach that spot of our life, I don't know how to break through. I can't get through. I can't get my mind off it. I may not be jumping. And I may not be preaching 90 mile an hour, but I feel just as anointed. There is thoughts that if they were painted on these walls, you would hang your head in shame that they are living inside your mind. How come I'm in the place I'm at? It's because I will not admit I need help. Some time ago, and I know some of you ain't going to take this very well. Some time ago, I was walking late one night in Walmart. And this ain't my norm of preaching right here. But I feel like this is what God wants. My wife and I was walking through Walmart. And there was a boy. I reckon he was probably 13, 14 years old. Somewhere thereabout, walking ahead of me and my wife. He's about the size of Corbin or Canaan. And something gripped inside of me. He was about from here to that wall in front of me and Angie. And the Spirit of God spoke to my heart and said, "Stand still. I want to show you something." I grabbed my wife. You remember that? I reached over and I grabbed her arm and I said, "Stand right here." I said, "I feel like I need to let you see this. I said, I want you to stand right here and watch this." I said, "Watch that boy." The Spirit of God said, "Put your eyes on him." I put my eyes on that boy. And when I did, he started walking over there to the to the posters. And he started flipping the poster rack. And he started going back and forth. And when he came across that woman who looked like she was on the beach, had been wet, and sand was sticking to her body, but she was on her knees. He flopped the picture open and he stopped and he stared at that picture and he looked straight up and down. He didn't move from that picture. The Spirit of God spoke to my heart. He said, "They will not admit." I need help. Hallelujah. You may not start off with a full-blown magazine of pornography, but it'll start with something, sir. It's going to start with something that's going to get in your mind and eat like a cancer at your thoughts. Come on here now. You ain't a hearing me, are you? My wife and I, God help my time as I preach what I feel here. My wife and I was in a place in Books a Million, and we walked past, you know how you walk through a Books a Million, and we was walking back toward the back, and she was flabbergasted, and she saw where it said men's entertainment, and she saw the display of the magazines, and she saw children running around there, and she said, "My Lord." I said, "Baby, all it is Books a Million, Barnes and Nobles, and all the rest of them is just one step away from an adult bookstore." Oh, come on here. You say, "Preacher, that ain't so." It is so real. I'm telling you for testimony's sake, I wouldn't stand there. I wouldn't look at it. I wouldn't buy it. I'd declare unto God and to everybody else, "I don't want to sink. I need help." The downfall to most young men has never begun with the penthouse, Playboy, and little plane here. It didn't start there. It started with your little Hot Rod magazines. It started with your Field and Stream. Oh, come on here now. I'm not saying that Field and Stream is wrong. But mister, can I tell you that there is an enemy who will set your mind and heart in the wrong direction, and you'll begin to feel that sinking feeling. You understand what I'm preaching to you? A man sinks from within before he ever sinks from without. If he ever gets help, his help that's going to come to him must not come from without him. It must come from within him. If I am to be picked up, if I am to be rescued, I must have a rescue in my heart. Help me out here. What is missing in our lives? It is the fatal cry of, "God, I need help. Make haste
Christ, O Lord, and come unto me and save me.
Pray, Angie. I'm going to wade into something here in a minute. It's going to hurt the devil and a few others. It may not appear to be at the present a danger that cannot be surpassed or conquered. It may sometimes feel like you can conquer it. It seems somebody in this building hear this preacher. You can go for a couple of weeks and it doesn't bother you. But then like a force out of control, it gets back on you again. And you can't stop it. You don't know how to stop it. Come on here. Hallelujah. Brother Stanley, I know sometimes we're tired. And I know sometimes we're wore out. Sometimes we kneel and pray. I don't think it's a sin. But sometimes I've knelt and prayed and fell asleep while I was praying. But I got a problem when a man falls asleep every time he prays. I got a problem that the man falls asleep. But I'm here to tell you, I knelt down right here in the back of this church, right here in this floor. I laid here and wept and wallered. And I felt the Holy Ghost deal with me. He said, there'll either be a rescue, or there'll be trouble. Hear me in this house. I want to tell you, sir, your cry is your first statement of rescue. You're crying out to God. It declares unto the Lord, I need help. I admit my sin. I admit my foolishness. If God don't help me, I'll never get out of it.
Pray, honey. I feel a demon force of hell that wants to stop me from preaching right here. It's been a while since I felt what I feel right here. But I'm feeling it. And I'm going to deal with it. If it ain't wrong, why you got to look over your shoulder? If it ain't wrong, why you gotta walk out of it in a paper bag or in a black bag? Even sinners know it is a shame and a disgrace. I know I feel the spirit right here. I'm gonna get into other things, but I feel a spirit of pornography grip a hold of my heart to preach against it. Are you hearing me? You listen to me in this house. I'm telling you, I can't remember where we were traveling to, but just adjacent to where we were stopping to fill up, there was a bad place, a bad magazine place. And I'll never forget people coming in and out of there. I was standing there filling up the vehicle, and I noticed, Brother Dawson, every one of them was walking out with black bags. And I knew what was in the bag. But hear me. When I go to Winn-Dixie or I go to Harvey's, they're all white bags. I'm going to tell you, the devil even knows it is a shame for you to be where you're at. Well, come on, you don't want to help me preach, do you? I want to tell you in this house, if you could just learn to cry, if you could just learn to get back on your knees again and go to weeping and a pleading and a begging God, rescue me. I got to have me. Get me out of this. I want to tell you, there is a rescue for you.
Oh God, help me preach this, Jesus. It's the sadness of every weeping preacher. It is not that there is no help. It is just that
you failed to cry. There's some pieces we can't find how to put back together. You want to help me preach? Brother Johnson, you won't mind me using you, will you? Come here, Brady. Is Boo Boo awake? Come here, buddy. Come here, Sister Sherry. I'm going to pull the whole family. Bring them all. Hallelujah. Come on up here and help me preach just a minute, my buddy. Hallelujah. I mean, it may look simple. Come up here, my daddy. Oh, but can I tell you, I want y'all to get closer together. I mean, hey, there are just some things, when it's broken, you can't fix it. You may mend it back together, but is there just something about it once it's cracked and broke? I'm telling you, oh, that the Holy Ghost would help me preach this, and that God would speak to my heart to help you tonight. But I'm telling you, we may be able to mend the family, but I'll never ever be able to mend the heart of the mind of this boy who watched his daddy, who watched his mama sink into mire. I may be able to preach and pray that we can find you mercy. But there are just some pieces I don't know how to put back together. There's some thoughts. I'm preaching to somebody in this building. There's some thoughts I don't know how to heal. Why? Because you wouldn't cry. Because you wouldn't tell God, I need help. You know the tragedy of it is, if my children are grown, they can make their own decisions. But can I tell you, Daddy, your children may be grown, but it doesn't stop their heart. It doesn't stop their love. You crush them when you fall to pieces. I may use a little bit here, and time is against me, and I must hurry. I'd like for my mother and father to stand. My dad, as you have heard me say, is my hero. He's very much a man. I've preached about him all across this country, have I not? I've told everybody how much a man my daddy is. Come on now. I like it when a man's bold enough to face life and not get mad and take it out on his wife or his children. Hallelujah. Oh, come on now. I'm glad some of you are going to get mad at me, but that's quite all right. It won't be the first time, and I'm pretty sure it won't be the last time, but I'm glad Daddy was strong enough to look at Mama and say, hey, you're not going to work in a field, in a factory all your life, and raise these children. Hear me in this house. I want to tell you, my brothers and sisters, my siblings, that some of them may not be saved, and some may not be where they ought to be, but if I make it to heaven, I want you two to know you've done your job right. Are you hearing me in this house? You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? Real men ask for help. Real women cry out for strength. It's only the weak that refuses to cry out, I need help. I hear men, Daddy, and if y'all think I'm partial, better believe I am. I've heard men say, well, I'll just get a second job if she ain't going to go to work and help me. Son, you need to just hush your mouth. What you need to do is sell some of your junk. Quit buying some of your extra toys. Come on here. Come on now. Come on here. Well, I tell you right now, she eats like I eat. She's going to work. You're just sorry. That's all your problem is. A real man will blow up to life, and he'll say, hey, come sink, swim, or die. I said, for better or for worse, that's exactly what we're going to do. I'm here to preach to somebody. You better stick it out. Daddy worked the second job. I remember it. I may have been a young boy, but I remember it. Worked in the laundromat, repairing washer and dryers late at night. I remember it. Pastor of church, stayed saved, and stayed in church the whole time. There's nothing wrong with a second job, sir, if it don't make your God second. Some of you ain't going to help me preach, are you? You know why? I'm going to tell you why. Because you're so full of pride, you don't want to admit, I need help. I need help. Oh, come on now. Oh, come here just a second. Oh, help Noah preach, Jesus. It's going to get real fun right here. Look at yourself. Aren't you living in a better house than you was when you served the devil? Aren't you wearing better clothes than you was when you served the devil? Aren't you glad your wife ain't stepping out? Oh, come on here. Say that. Aren't you driving something decent? You wasn't pushing, begging, stealing, and borrowing. But now God and His riches. I just read you the scripture where He said, blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits. I'm going to tell you something. My worst day as a Christian is better than my 10,000 ever and never. Somebody give God the praise. What is Mar, preacher? It is that area of wet, soggy dirt, deep mud, or slush that I can't find any footing in. David said, God, that's where I'm at. I want you to notice something here. I got to hurry. He starts off chapter 69 with, save me. He starts off chapter 70 with, make haste, O Lord. He starts off with chapter 68. He said, let God arise. He starts off 67. Be merciful unto us. 64 is, hear my voice, O God. In my prayer. 59 is deliver me from mine enemies. Are you hearing me in this house? He said in 61, hear my cry. And truly, in 62, truly my soul waiteth upon God. In verse 60, chapter 63, verse 1, he says, oh God, thou art my God. And what he said was, if you don't save me, there ain't no saving. If you don't rescue me, there is no rescue. Pride has become more of a killer in the holiness ranks than bitterness, than hatred, than malice, than lust. It has become now ranking top number one. I'm a preacher. I don't have to ask for help. I'm going to let you sit down in a second. But I may not even be able to answer their questions. But then the other question is, how do I answer his? How do I answer hers? I know you ain't going to get what I'm preaching. I have dealt with married couples that have cheated on each other. I have dealt with families that has broke up. And you know when a man, oh God, help Noah. When a man blunders and falls, or a woman blunders and falls, this is my statement to him all the time. If you mess up against that woman, you ought to be man enough to take every question she's got and answer them. And if you can't, you're still guilty. Come on here. My wife has sat in meetings where I've sat with husbands and wives that have cheated on each other in different areas. And I've looked at that woman and I said, whatever questions he has, I said, you owe him an answer. If he is going to open up his arms and take you back home, then your rightful attitude should be mercy. I'm going to give to you whatever you ask. But you know the pride in us? I can go find somebody else. But when you do, you're going to go to hell for it. You hear me? You hear me? I can hear you. I can hear you. I can hear you right now. You're saying, preacher, don't preach that to me. I'm going to preach it. That's not whether what you want or not. The fact of the matter is, you can take the simple road and kill your pride and beg God for help or stop the damage. What's the matter with us? We don't want to admit I have crushed something that was precious. I have broken something that should have been left and remained whole. I destroyed something that God deemed should have been sacred. Pride has killed more men and more women. I want you to hear me just a second. And I'm not, I believe I can use this family and them not get mad at me. But I have watched the distance in their eyes of different families. And when you go to talk to them about it, the first thing they want to say is, not me. Not me. I know some of y'all ain't going to shout with me after this.